through 16. And let's just open up with a little bit of prayer here. Dear Lord, I thank you for this good day that you've given us, Lord. And I know that each and every one of us, speaking for myself as well, it's been a rather hectic day. Help us, Lord, to take and put this hectic day behind us. Help us, Lord, to be able to focus on your word and help each and every one of us to be able to hear you tonight and to be able to learn and to be able to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One of the things that I do in my studies and stuff is I use my phone here. They've got this beautiful old Bible app on there. And I get a little scripture every day. The scripture of the day, that's how I start my day out. I get a little scripture coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I also try to work through various devotions and stuff, little devotional things where they... I just finished one by Charles Stanley, and I'm doing one now on Galatians, and it's all helps keep me grounded. One of the devotions I was doing recently, last fall or something like that, was where they were talking about be prepared to suffer harm because of being a Christian. And my first thought was, I must have been feeling pretty cocky that day because I thought, I've got the Lord on my side. As it says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? And besides that, I have a sword. Yeah, I have my sword. But then when I start thinking about it, I know that we're being persecuted. There's not one of us here today that has not been persecuted and is not going to face more persecution because of being a Christian. We live in an evil world. There's so much stuff going on out there. I'm not even begin to specify, other than say, we know who the world belongs to, right? The world belongs to Satan. He's in charge out there. And what does Satan want to do? He wants to tear us down. That's all he's going to take and do. He's going to have us under constant attack. And Satan is real. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't think, just kind of a comic book character, but just kind of a bad feeling or a bad cloud. No, Satan is real. Satan is real. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I have personally come face to face and seen the face of Satan in people that I've dealt with. I would not be surprised if there are those of you in here that have had the same or similar experiences where you've faced Satan's power face to face. And the only way we can take and fight him is what? The Word of God. That's right, Steve. Thank you. The Word of God, that is where our power lies. This is our sword. It's not some shiny thing with a couple sharp blades on it and a pretty gold handle or something, This is what God has given us to take and protect us from the devil. And going into our text here, in 1 Peter 3:8, says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, and be courteous. I feel very fortunate to be a part of this church, because when I'm in this church, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling us be together. We support one another. There's a lot of strength here. There's so much power in standing together that, and it's kind of cool that we're going through a period of time now where on Sunday mornings, we're all together in one service instead of being split up in two services. I feel, personally, I feel a lot of power from that. Just the fact that, I think that it makes it a little harder for Satan to take and sneak in here and mess with us because there's more power here. There's more of the Christian love, and we all stand together. And because of the togetherness we feel with our Christian brothers and sisters, and not only within this church, but Christian brothers and sisters and stuff that we know that maybe worship a little bit differently than us, but they're still, we know that they love God, and we receive support from them. So when we're out there in the world and we are attacked, it's a little harder to deal with. It's a little bit unexpected. I had a personal experience in my work last year where I was attacked. I was dragged down, not on the street, but by people I work with. And it broke my heart. I was hurting. I was hurting so bad because I thought, how can these people that I work with, my teammates, turn on me? Why aren't we working together? And the answer came to me as I'm reading some of my devotions, reading my Bible. And I'll tell you what, it didn't come to me as quickly as it should have. It was several weeks, maybe months later. But it came to me that, duh, they're not Christians. How can I expect a non-Christian, a non-believer, to treat me like a believer? We can't do that, can we? That's an unrealistic thinking. We are going to face the attack from the people that we might want to trust, but we can't because they're not Christians. It says in, let me turn my page here. I don't have a laptop like Tony does. I don't do this very often. In Luke 11:23, it says that he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. He who is not with me is against me. That means that those who have not chosen Christ have chosen the other side, haven't they? They may not be actively going out there and thinking, okay, I'm going to go worship Satan, but they're doing Satan's work, right? So we can't. That's the kind of persecution that we're going to be facing out here day to day in the world from non-Christians. It's basically a demonic, they're trying to tear down his work. So how do we face that adversity? What are we supposed to take and do? You know, I'm going back in 2 Timothy 3:12, going back to the fact that yes, we're going to be suffering persecution. Says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's biblical. We know we're going to suffer persecution. I like the way the NIV words it. It says, in fact, everyone. Does that exclude? No, everyone. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How are we first supposed to react when we're persecuted out there? I'll tell you what my first reaction was. I wanted to strike back. I wanted to hurt these people or this person who hurt me as much as what they hurt me. But that's not the Christian way, is it? But am I alone in my thoughts? Anybody else here have that same feeling that they, oh yeah, I see a lot of hands and thoughts, you know. First thought, you go on to take and strike back. But striking back is not going to take and do it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We go on to verse 9 of our text. It says, not returning evil for evil. Or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Oh, ouch. In Romans 12, 14 through 21, it also says in there that we're supposed to bless those who persecute us. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, throw him a bone. No. If he is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think it says like that about three times in there, doesn't it? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how easy is that? If somebody hurts you, how easy is it to come back and pray for them or to bless them and ask for a blessing to come into their life? Not very easy, is it? Thanks to my beautiful bride, she and I have just discussed this with my deal, and she brought to my mind that person is hurting. That person is lacking something, because of lacking something, they're hurting. And brought it upon me that, it comes to my mind, I need to pray for this person. I need to pray that this person's pain is eased. I need to pray that this person gets to know God's love. And it's pretty hard to be angry at somebody when you're praying for those things for them, isn't it? Very hard to retain your anger. Do I still get angry about it? Yeah, I do. I do. But I have to remember that what God said I'm supposed to do, what God wants me to do, is to pray for that person and ask that they come to get to know Christ. Ask that their hurting be healed. And I'm thinking that a part of when it says in here that we will get a blessing, when we pray for a blessing for them, we're going to receive a blessing. To me, you know what the greatest, coolest blessing would be? To see that person come to Christ. Now, wouldn't that be cool? This person who is tormented, person has tormented you or another person that you love, to see them come to know Christ and to be loving, wouldn't that be cool? That would bless my life. That would certainly bless my life. And of course, we need to remember that in Matthew 6:14-15 is where Christ commands us to forgive others. We're supposed to forgive in order to be forgiven. If we can't forgive, if I can't forgive my brother or sister over here, or this person here on the street who doesn't know Christ, how can I expect Christ to believe me for all the horrible things I've done? Because the things that Christ went through on my account are, he went through a lot more on my account than what that person has caused me, don't you think? Death on the cross. We receive more instruction on how to face adversity in 2 Timothy 4. Verses 1 through 5, says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince." Okay. How do you convince? You're going to have to carry a pretty convincing argument, right? You're going to have to be able to know what you're talking about if you're going to convince them. Rebuke. Rebuke means to correct. You better know the difference between right and wrong if you're going to rebuke, right? Exhort. Build them up. With all long-suffering and teaching. It means that you need to have a lot of patience to be able to teach, and it may not come right around. It may not ever come around in your vision, but you got to plant those seeds, right? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I think those are pretty good words to live by, don't you? Going back into our text, verses 10 to 12 of our text is actually a quote from Psalms, Psalms 34, verses 12 through 16. And I like the way it reads in Psalms, so I'm going to read Psalms 34, 12 through 16. It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Really great advice to keep your tongue from evil, because, and this is one a failing that I have had, where when I am attacked, pretty hard for me to not talk back and talk bad to them or bad about them. And that's not the right way to go about it. And I pray that God can forgive me for those mistakes that I've made. I know that he has forgiven me, but you know, that's something that I need to remember. I should probably post this on my bathroom mirror or something. You know, keep your lips from speaking deceit, depart from evil and do good. Well, try to do good. Try to do good. We get a lot of opportunities out there to do good. Do we take advantage of all those opportunities? The last four lines there, I think, are pretty powerful about when we're facing adversity and feeling a little hopeless. I don't know about you, I would know myself, at times when I'm facing deep adversity and things are really going bad, and, oh man, this just is not a good place to be. I do not like being here. But remember that God is watching. It says, eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. When I cry, he hears my cry. Whether it's audible or in my heart, he hears your cry. He feels your pain. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And then when I start thinking about that, I'm thinking, yeah, I don't have to get them. God's going to get them. What's God going to do to them? He can do a whole lot worse to them. He will do it. If they don't follow him, they're going to end up in a whole lot worse place than they're going to end up from anything I could do. They're going to end up in a place that I really, not only do I not want, I don't want to see anybody go through that. That's a bad place to be. So what does that do? That comes right back around to praying a little bit harder for that person, trying a little harder to share with that person the love of Christ and let them see that, hey, you don't have to be that way. I think it also kind of torques them off a little bit if something they see and they're not getting to me, right? Yeah, they want to take a seat of reactions. And the reaction they need to see, they need to see joy. Going back to our text, verses 13 through 14. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So we know we have that protection. We don't have to worry. There's nothing to worry about. Don't be troubled. If we're suffering for righteousness' sake, we're going to be setting an example. We're also going to be learning. One of the things that I look back on when I've gone through adversity, things either I get slapped by whatever's going on, but I learned from it. I learned, okay, first of all, I don't want to do that again because that hurt. Secondly, I become stronger by it. I get stronger and better able to deal with it the next time I face that and maybe make a better decision to do with it. And going into verse 15 is where it really hits home. And it hits home with something we've been going, it just kind of popped up in our home this week where Elena has met a friend who has, you know, sharing stuff. So we've been, you know, having some pretty cool discussions this week about biblical matters and, you know, why don't we follow Old Testament law and whatever and so forth and being prepared. And maybe Friday night we're going to take and go and meet these people and talk with them and stuff. But I diversify a little bit from where I was going. I got ahead of myself. But in 15 it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This goes right along with that verse we read there in Timothy. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Wow. This is where I got excited when I started preparing this. I said, oh, this is cool. Got to be ready. How do you get ready? What am I getting ready for? Oh, man, I'm going to get attacked. Well, I've got to know the word if somebody's going to be attacking my belief, right? If somebody says, they're attacking me, and they say, yeah, you lousy Christians and stuff, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You think that, you know, you're all high and mighty and stuff, and you know nothing. Can you defend yourself from that? If you're attacked, you have somebody come up to you and say, why are you so high and mighty? How can you judge me? Can you defend yourself? Do you know the word? If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you're not going to be able to defend it very well. This is where I get excited about spending time in the Word, learning the Word better, listening to pastors teach and stuff so I can be ready to defend myself when I'm attacked. The other thing that's going to happen is you're being a duck. All that stuff's kind of rolling off your back, you're going down the road. And people that you work with, people see at your store, they're going to be saying, what the heck's wrong with him? You know, he's going through all kinds of crud, and he's happy. He's out there singing to some Lord or something. What's all that about? Hey, what are you singing about? How do you got to be happy about? Do you know how you're going to share that? How are you going to react to that? That's exciting to think about the concept that people, and I have, you know, where I'm in persecution at work from a largely non-Christian base of people I work with, but I have people almost every week that I work with say, you're a little different. You're kind of a Christian guy? Do you like God? What? Yeah, you know, what's all that about? And I get a chance to share. Are they buying it? Are they getting into it? Well, I may not get to know. I'm getting to plant the seeds. So that's where I got all excited about being able to be here tonight. And I said, oh, yeah, cool, yeah. So, are you prepared to tell others about Christ? When they come to you and say, what have you got that I ain't got? Are you prepared to be able to do that? I highly recommend, I don't know, everybody has their different things that work good for them, but I kid you not, this little tool right here is the best tool I have been able to come across in a long time I've bought, I've got right here, read your Bible in a year. I've been working on this one for about 2 years now, and I'm still not there. But this thing here with that little reminder that beeps at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning is my reminder. Said, okay, read your scripture today. Oh, here's your Bible study. Let's start working on this Bible study. I've got a friend in Oklahoma that I haven't seen since we got out of high school together, that we just finished a Bible study together on this. That's pretty cool stuff. God can use this technology as well as the devil, right? Because there's a lot of evil stuff in here, but you know what? If we're using this for the good stuff, I think that'll keep the evil stuff out. And again, I think in that, one of the biggest blessings we can look forward to is going to be if we can lead somebody else to Christ, or if we see somebody else come to know Christ, because we shared with them, and he shared with them, and she shared with them, and it all came together and clicked at some point, and they came to know Christ. That's happy stuff, right? Going back to our text real quickly, I've only got about 4 more pages here. We've got snacks in the back, right? Okay. In verse 16, having a good conscience, that is when they defame you as evildoers. Those who revile you and your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Keeping a good conscience in the face of adversity is don't give them something. Don't give them anything to be able to attack you with. If they come out here and they say, hey, you're a thief. Well, if you're not stealing anything, they can say it all they want, but it doesn't make it true, does it? You have to take and keep it, keep doing the right thing. Keep doing, obeying God, following God, following God's law. One of the people that, I really admire for facing adversity is Job. Job had it down, didn't he? He went through a lot of stuff. And he had a lot of his friends coming to him and said, oh, man, why don't you blame God? Why don't you denounce God? Because God's letting all this happen to you. Job's response, one of his favorite parts of his, and he's got several long passages of response to it, but the favorite part of his response that I really like is in Job 27, verses 5 and 6. It says, till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. That's pretty powerful stuff, huh? Get pretty fired up by that. Job had it down. I want to follow Job's example as well as I can and be able to do the right thing even when the right thing's not being done to me. I want to be able to face my accusers and say, neener, neener, neener. Words may hurt, but they won't hurt back. So that means not sinking down to their level. In today's political world, we hear so much stuff. See, something is, it almost seems like, I don't know. There's this guy, motivational speaker out there one time, Tony Robbins. Anybody familiar with Tony Robbins? Yeah. And Tony Robbins is all I say. You just keep saying it till it comes true. Tony Robbins must have been one of those, that one political party or something like that. They keep saying it and they want it to come true. But that's the devil's technique. That's the devil's technique. That's his strategy. We're going to just keep saying it. We're going to keep attacking you. We want to take and make people believe, because if these people over here, they're just watching, if they just keep hearing it, maybe they'll finally start believing it. But then if these people over there that are watching are seeing you and seeing me continue to do the right thing, they're going to say, eventually, they're full of it. They don't know what they're talking about. So that's, to me, that's what it says when it says having a good conscience. I don't want to be ashamed of my conduct. None of us want to be accused of doing something that we didn't do. I get really angry about it. You can ask Julie. She's seen me be very, very angry about being accused of things that I didn't do and being put down, but you know what? In the long run, Christ wins. You know? As Christians, I don't know if this is actually goes in that good conscience part, but we kind of cheat a little bit because we've already read the end of the book. We know who wins. So we have something to look forward to. I'm going to close with this part right here. In 2 Corinthians verse 4:2, and I like it in the New International Version, so I'm going to read out the New International Version. It says, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." That's pretty clear stuff, isn't it? Right out there in the open, we're going to do our thing. We don't get out here and try to hide so people don't see us. It's like in Matthew 5:13-16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." We should not be hidden, should we? "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So, in the face of adversity, we want to be the light, don't we? In the face of adversity, when in the face of attacks and persecution, we want the world and our accusers to be able to look at us and say, "That person's got something that I don't have, and I want it. I want to know the Lord." I think the time is short. We might not have a whole lot of time left on this earth. And then the choice of those people is going to become extremely limited. I personally have a lot of loved ones that don't know the Lord. I have a lot of people in my neighborhood that know the Lord. I have people that I work with that don't know the Lord. And I would sure like to see them show up there with me, right? So, that's what I have for tonight. I thank you for putting up with me. And worship team, if you can come up and go ahead and